actually doesn't start next week. We're actually in it right now. But we picked a peppy sermon bumper to wake you up because sometimes y'all get sleepy. All right, how many of you, this is always good to know Thanksgiving out of the gate. How many of you do not eat turkey and you only eat ham for Thanksgiving? Raise your hand. There's no turkey in your house whatsoever. Look around. See these strange people. Okay, good. Just want to make sure they're not pilgrims. They are not pilgrims at all. Pilgrims ate turkey, right? Probably not. Probably not. They probably ate ham, more than likely. So how many of you had turkey? How many of you had turkey? All right. How many of you had both? You had both turkey and ham. Very good. Good, good, good. Good. Some of you, praise the Lord. Y'all were Pentecostal there for a moment. Y'all see that? That was awesome. That's a trick. See, some of you, you can do it. It's not so bad, is it? Good. Good. Just wanted to help you out a little bit. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving time with family and friends and that nobody had to go to jail and no fights were too bad and cousins all got along and everything was a good time together. And we pick back up our series this morning. We'll finish it up next Sunday morning. Then we'll dive into a great Christmas series that will take us through Christmas Day. By the way, I guess you remember or you know that Christmas Day is on Sunday this year. So we're expecting a packed house that day. All the gifts will be open. We'll do regular worship just at 10:30 on that day. We'll have candlelight service, family great worship. We're expecting a packed house, a great opportunity to bring somebody to be with you that day. People are prone to come to that. It's another service. People are prone to come to a Christmas Eve or a Christmas Day service. So please make sure you take that opportunity to invite them to be here. We will not take off church that day. My mind is boggled by churches that take off Sunday because it's Christmas. I can't think of a better day to have church than Christmas Day. Amen? So we're going to have church that day. We're going to worship together and celebrate Christmas together. And so I look forward to that together. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you turn to the book of Proverbs? We're going to look at several Proverbs together this morning as we continue our series of the last 2 weeks. We're talking about making changes. And a lot of us, we talked about need to make some significant changes in our lives in order to be able to live in such a way that we can make an impact with our finances, with the resources that God has given to us. And a lot of you would say to me, you know what, Brad, I'm really sick and tired of struggling. I don't want to have the struggle anymore. And here's the great news. God doesn't want you to struggle either. God has some great words of truth for you and for me that will help us if we'll apply them to our lives. So we're talking about the four truths together, and I know you've got them memorized by now, so let's just say them together. The first we talked about out of that scripture was less is more. Say it with me, less is more. Last one we talked about, number two, what? Stress is bad. Who wouldn't disagree with that one, right? Who likes to be stressed, right? Thank God Thanksgiving is over and all the stress, and now we look forward to the stress of Christmas, right? We think. But we know stress is bad, so we have to find ways in order for not to be stressed. And we gave you some real tools on how to not do that, how to not live that way, to add more stress to a life that can already be stressful enough as it is. And then we talked about, and we'll talk about the third one was giving is good. Say that with me. Giving is good. And then today we're talking about tomorrow matters. Now we're kind of flip-flopping these two because I want to talk about giving next week. But I want us to kind of talk about this morning that tomorrow really matters. And we'll talk about why that is. Now, we live in a generation, a millennial generation. I saw a video a couple weeks ago. Cracked me up. Hilarious. Millennials. How many of you know you're a millennial? Raise your hand if you know you're a millennial. Okay, good. Raise them high. Don't be embarrassed. It's okay. All right, good. And not that y'all, some of y'all are millennials, you just don't know what that is. Okay, it's okay. If you're about 15 to about 29 or 30, somewhere there, you're a millennial, somewhere around there, maybe a little bit older than that. That catching that millennial generation roughly. And there's a video called that I saw that called, it's called Adopt a Millennial. It's called Millennial International. And if you've not seen it, look it up on YouTube. It's really funny. You know, you got World Vision. You can adopt a child for $29 a month. This is Adopt a Millennial for just $29,000 a month to help this poor millennial who has great job skills, great college degree, but has no job and still needs their beard wax and their Starbucks coffee every day. So we have to help their lifestyle until they can figure out what it is they want to do. And so people are making fun of millennials, but the truth is, millennials have grown up in a generation that has taught them not to wait, right? But if you think about it, none of us like to wait, but in particular, this generation has been taught not to wait. So, for example, if you send a friend a text message, what do you expect immediately back to see on your screen? Right? The little bubbles, right? That means what? They're reading your message and or they're typing a message back to you, right? And if they don't respond back within a minute, all of a sudden, some of you, I know it, I've seen it, you get huffy. You start getting that emoji ready, that little emoji, you know, or the poopy emoji or whatever it is you're going to send to somebody because, really, we're stuffed animals of a poopy emoji. Where have we gone in our culture? I mean, holy cow. But anyway, so you want, it's immediate. I want an answer back right away. Forget the fact they may have a life and don't have time to text you right now, right? I mean, God forbid that they have something else to do than to text you right away, right? We want it right away. So what about on Amazon, right? Or on Netflix? I don't want it to buffer. The dreaded word to buffer a video, I have to wait, God forbid, for it to come up, right? If I'm on Amazon, right? I'm an Amazon Prime member, so I want my free shipping in 2 days. Not 3 days, not 5 days. Used to be UPS took like 6 years to get you a package. Now, you'll get it in 2 days for free. Or some of you had the awful experience this week. Oh, I know it's terrible. You had to go to your grandparents' house, right? So how many had to go to grandparents' house this week, right? Grandparents or your parents, right? And they have like 1 meg service. Like you've been dreading all week. I saw a commercial for Cox or Xfinity or whatever that you can like, the grandma gets all the stuff because she put on Twitter that and she read it, I guess, that, you know, or Instagram, whatever it was, dreading the week from hell because I'm going to have no internet, right? And so, listen, y'all don't know what it's like to wait, millennials, okay? Listen to this. Let me tell you what waiting is like. Listen to this. See if you recognize this noise. Wait, hang on. Hold on. Wait for it. Wait, not yet. Ah, there it is. Do you remember that sound? Now, right here on the front row, y'all have any idea what this noise is? Right here, right? No, don't. You know, so don't answer. How many of you don't know? Teenagers, you've never heard this noise in your life. Great, you never heard this noise. What does that sound like to you? Some type of phone, right? It is a phone, right? This is a good guessing game, all right? What, anybody else? What else do you think it might be? Teenagers, you don't know. You know, you can't answer it. You're going to ruin the thing. That's very good. I'm glad you know. What else? You think, what is this? A phone? You have no idea. That was the beginning of what, adults? The internet, right? It's called dial-up. We used to have to wait for a year and a half for a page to load, right? Y'all remember those days, right? Man, when we got like 56K, baby, we were smoking, right? And now we've got like a gigabyte. I mean, you know, you can get a gigabyte from C Spire if you live in the right place, and like you just like sneeze and you have the whole page loaded just that fast, right? But that's our mentality. That has become our cultural norm is, I don't want it today, I want it yesterday. Everything has to be instantaneous. We've been conditioned to live for the right now, right? CNN did a poll a few months back and found this to be the case. Of course, we'll see how far you trust them. But anyway, CNN says that 76% of Americans live from paycheck to paycheck. They live from week to week on a paycheck, Friday to Friday, right? Now, there's some of us in this room that you do that. You work hard. You know, you have 2 jobs. And so you're really working hard and you live paycheck to paycheck. But there's a lot of us in this room, you don't live that way. But here's the problem. You live that way. You ought not have to live that way. You shouldn't be living that way because you have enough resources. If you invest them and spend them the right way, you wouldn't have to live paycheck to paycheck. And so, and I want to tell you, God doesn't want you to live paycheck to paycheck. Now, before I dive into this message, I've used this series from Life Church TV. We're trying to find something different and unique, and so I found this series that I'm using. And so when I started reading through that, I'm thinking to myself, if you're not careful, this is going to sound like health and wealth gospel, right? God wants you to be rich. God doesn't have any desire for you to be rich. Okay, let me be very clear about that, because God doesn't say, hey, go get rich. But now God does say that he wants us to invest wisely, and there's nothing wrong with having some wealth. And we hear the word wealth, and I think of King Midas when I think of wealth. I think of somebody that is like a billionaire. Bill Gates is wealthy. Well, it depends on how you define the word wealthy. You have some resources. There's nothing wrong with having some resources, right? God does not want you to live in the poorhouse, right? Right, he does. He does not want you to live in the poorhouse. But here, how do we do that? How do we not live from paycheck to paycheck? And here's the problem with our culture. We're not centered on a mindset of being wise, of being very careful with how we spend our money, because here's why. If we really recognize that tomorrow matters, we'll realize that today makes a difference for tomorrow. We'll realize that how we spend our time, our energy, our resources, the investments of our lives, what we do today will matter tomorrow. Now, teenagers, your mindset, and you can't help it because we were all there too as teenagers, it's hard for us to see past the tip of our nose. Because life seems to go a little bit slower, it seems. You get to be an adult, it seems to go like a tornado. You cannot keep up with it, right? You're looking past that point. You're thinking, what are you talking about, preacher? What, tomorrow matters. Well, I'll get to tomorrow. I'm going to worry about today. right? The pleasures of today, the importance of today, I'll worry about tomorrow, next year, next century, if you will, not right now. The problem is, when we do that, we get ourselves in a lot of trouble. Listen to what Proverbs 21, verse 20 says. If you have a copy of God's Word, you can look there. This is a different version than maybe you have, but this is what it says. Good, my teenagers are already on their Bible apps on their phone. I'm so proud of you. Y'all are on it, right? The wise have wealth and luxury, right? Well, watch this. But fools spend whatever they get. Now, your grandparents would have said it this way. Here's their vernacular of it. It'll burn a hole in your pocket, right? My kids, the minute they get a dime, a dollar, I mean, the minute they get it, the plan has already been hatched to spend it, right? The word savings. My dad took me when I was 12 years old and opened a savings account. That was back when you could actually earn something on it. Now, you know, you earn like, you know, half a penny a year on the savings because there's no interest rate right now. Right? But I opened a savings account at UniFirst Bank. How many of you remember that little savings group? Nobody. Praise the Lord. Gary, thank you so much for helping me. It's now Trustmark now. It used to be UniFirst back in the day. And I opened my savings account there. I opened a checking account, a savings account, right? Because my parents wanted to teach us early on that you save because tomorrow matters. Right? Our generation says tomorrow matters, but don't worry about tomorrow, just worry about today. Now, there is a sense of we have to live for today and not worry about tomorrow, but the sense of the scripture tells us we have to live today knowing that tomorrow matters. So Proverbs 21:20 tells us the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Proverbs 6:6-8 says this, another good word. He really, really gives us a great encouraging word here. Look what it says here. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Boy, bless your friends of the day. You know, you're just a sluggard. Good King James word there, right? Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider his ways and be wise. Notice, it has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in the summer and gathers its food at harvest. What does that ant know that our culture, our generation, even believers have forgotten? And here it is. The ant even knows that tomorrow matters. Tomorrow matters, how we spend our resources. And so we turn to Matthew chapter 25, and a story we're all familiar with, the story of the talents. The guy that was given 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent, right? The master gives it to them. He goes away. He says, take care of my money while I'm gone. It's usually some sort of money, some sort of something they could invest and get return on it. Right? You know this story? The master comes back, the 5, he invested it and got 5 more. The guy that got 2 invested, he got 2 more. The guy who had 1 says, I was afraid of you, master, and so I buried it, and I have nothing but to return the 1 back to you. Right? And Jesus has some incredibly difficult words he says to this guy. But before he says that, he says this to the 2 guys. Whoever is faithful with a little will be blessed with, watch this, what? More. Right? So there's nothing wrong with God giving you more if you're faithful with a little. And you've seen this principle applied, hopefully in your life, but maybe in the lives of other people, where if you're faithful in the small, God will bless you. God desires to bless his people. And why does God desire to bless you? So you can have a massive house and 4 cars and a vacation home at the beach and go to Cancun or whatever. Is that why God's blessed you? No. Anything wrong with having any of those things? No, not in and of themselves. Why does God bless us? So that we can invest in the kingdom of God. So we can invest in that which will last for eternity and outlast and outlive us beyond our lives. Now notice what he calls the guy who doesn't invest. Strong words, don't miss this. Here's what he says. You wicked, lazy servant. Now listen, that's, boy, you don't get much. I mean, boy, bless somebody and call them wicked. You are wicked and lazy. Nobody says, well, thank you for calling me that, right? Strong words. Why? Because he didn't invest for tomorrow. He lived in a place of fear instead of a place of trust in his master. 2 thoughts about money. 2 thoughts about money in your outline. Number one is this, way you can think about money, is people making money. People making money. Now, what are we talking about here? Well, this is your 40-hour a week job. This is your talent, your gift. You go to work, you work 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week, right? You work and you get money back. You get paid every 2 weeks, every week, every month, whatever the case may be, right? Everybody gets that one. Most of us are doing that. We have to do that. And sometimes we enjoy it, and sometimes we don't enjoy it, depending on what you do and what you feel called to do. But the second thing we can do is this, and this is not rocket science, but it's true, is to not only people making money, but here it is on your outline, it is money making money. Now, hopefully, teenager, I grabbed your attention here. Money making money, right? All of a sudden, I see that phrase, I'm thinking, oh, it is true. Money grows on trees. If I plant some money, I'm going to get a money tree. Wouldn't that be just fantastic? I mean, good night. You'd have to, every house would have to be like Fort Knox, because we would all be stealing money off each other's trees, right? So it doesn't exist that way, right? What are we talking about here? We're talking about the idea of investment. It's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 25. Basically, what happens, this guy puts his money to work so that he can have more to do more good and make a greater difference with that which he has given. You know that moment when you're able to have enough resources to bless somebody else. It's not a blessing when you can bless somebody else. The very first time I got to experience this, I was a kid, and we got to go do Christmas for a family. On the other side of town, we had met this family and through some circumstances, it was one of the great, and I was probably eight, so what did I contribute to it? Nothing, right? Absolutely nothing. Maybe a little bit of my allowance or something I gave. But bottom line is my parents paid for all of it, and we took this family Christmas that wouldn't have had one. That's one of the greatest, most joyful feelings of my life. Honestly, it is the truth. I never got over it. I love to be able to be at a place where I can bless other people. To bless with the resources that God has given me, to see them used for kingdom good. But we can't do that if we don't invest. Now, here's the deal. You can work for your money, and you can put your money to work. Why do we do that? How do we do that? We remember this thought: tomorrow matters. In order for me to maximize for tomorrow to matter, it means today I have to make some changes in order for that to be the case. Now, obviously, you would know, and I promise you, if you ever thought I am, you're sorely wrong. I am not a financial planner. I don't understand a lot about finances except to know what's in my bank account and what's there and what's not there. I got that part down pat. So I'm good with that part. Investing and all those kinds of things, not so smart. My dad passed away. We have a guy that invests the money that my dad left my mom to take care of her. And so he invested, and he'll get on the phone with me. His name is Jason Branning. He'll say, well, Brad, let me tell you about the bonds and the stocks and the deferred this and that. And it's on. I said, I got a whistle. Time out. I said, right now, let me give you the visual of what's happening right now, okay? This is you, okay? This is me. I'm over here. This is Charlie Brown. This is the teacher. Wah, 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 wah. Don't waste your time. Just invest the money, and whatever we get back, praise God for it. That's fantastic. We trust you. You're a guy of integrity. Take care of it. I'm not that kind of person. I don't know how to invest your money. Don't even ask me. I don't even have a clue. I don't know how to invest my own. I have somebody else invest it, right? But what I do know as a pastor is that God has given us biblical principles that will help you. That's what Dave Ramsey did. He just took biblical principles, by the way, and wrote a thing called Financial Peace. And it's a great thing. Again, I recommend it to you if you're trying to figure out how do I get out of this mess that I'm in, or how do I make better financial decisions so that tomorrow matters, I can help take care of that today. You can do that. But you got to have a plan in order to do that. And Financial Peace offers you how to get started getting out of debt, what kind of insurance you need to buy, how to plan for retirement, right? Solid principles of investing. It can help you baby step, as you use these ways, baby step your way into a place of where you can be financially secure. And so that tomorrow does matter, because a lot of us, we say, well, don't worry about tomorrow, right? Just live as if today matters. That's the theme, right? And we need to live today as if today matters, knowing that we might not have tomorrow. But statistics would tell us the average person is going to live into their 80s. So the question is, are you preparing for tomorrow? Three principles I want us to share with you today about tomorrow matters. Number one is this. This is a good one. This is not rocket science here. Don't invest in things you don't understand. Don't invest in things that you do not understand. Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4 says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare," that's not rate, that'd be rare, "and beautiful treasures." Understand what you're investing in before you invest in it. Get all the information you can and make sure you understand. If you don't understand, find somebody who understands it. I give an example. I do not do my taxes. Period. I never paid for my taxes to be done because my father was a CPA. I was blessed. When I got the first bill, I now understood how it was that I was able to attend Baylor University. My dad charged way too much. I'm like, holy cow, what does it cost to add some numbers together? I mean, I can still hear the click of my dad's adding machine in our house. He would have an office at the house, and in tax season time from January to May, we would see him like from 6 to 6:45 on Monday to Friday. That's all we ever saw him because he'd work all night long, and I can hear that tape thing. He's awesome, the calculator, I can hear it. Right, figuring out the taxes. I let somebody figure out my taxes because here's the thing, I don't want to go to jail, right? And I would have a tendency to do that because I would call my dad, preachers, you get to have what's called a housing allowance, right? And so I'd call my dad, and you can count like your electricity bill and your house payment, all this kind of stuff. It's just kind of a perk that you get. And there's a flip side of that, so don't think it's also great because, anyway, it's a long story. So anyway, it's complicated. But anyway, so I call my dad and say, well, can I count toilet paper? And he's like, son, are you kidding me? I'm like, well, I'm just asking, you know. And just asking, well, can I count this, Brad? This is not a housing allowance. I mean, good night. I know, but Uncle Sam will never know. That's my thinking. I mean, I'm paying too much as it is. My dad would say, Pastor, okay, fine, I'll be honest and integrity. I won't do that, right? I needed somebody to take care of my taxes because I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. Right? So if you're going to invest in something, make certain that you understand it or find somebody that can help you understand it and make sure that it is legitimate. We'll come back to this in a second. Notice the second one is don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Now listen, you thought that your grandma came up with this saying, right? Well, actually it comes right out of Scripture. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 2 says this, "To divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risk may lie ahead." What are they saying? Well, here's what they're saying. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. There are a lot of people who found out, I guess it was in the 90s maybe, early 90s, to put all your money in WorldCom was not a good idea. Do y'all remember WorldCom? Some of you teenagers, you have no clue WorldCom, might as well be a foreign word. WorldCom was in Clinton, Mississippi. It was the conglomerate of bigger than AT&T and Verizon. It was this huge, and it was built on a financial not good whatever. I don't even understand it either. He explained it to you, but it was a hot mess. I know that much. And people lost millions and billions of dollars because they had all their eggs in one basket. You have to be what financial planners would tell you, diversified, right? You can't put all your money in the stock market or into bonds or into real estate or commodities or whatever it is you do. You have to do a little bit of a lot of different kinds of things and allow it to grow. Now, this is good. This is going to bless you. Investing is like that emoji I just said, I can't believe. It's a little bit like manure. I'm going to let that sit just a minute and see if y'all are even remotely awake. And y'all are not. Investing is like manure. Are you wondering what in the world are you talking about, preacher? Good night. Now, think about it for a moment. If you've ever been out on a farm, some of you have never seen a farm or don't even know what it's like. We go to a farm, and I lived in the country for a while, and you go out to a place in Maplesville, Alabama, that's out there, and they had a bunch of cows, right? You put a lot of manure in one place, it really stinks. They had this big bunch of cows over the railroad track, and you drove by it, and like about a half mile before you got there, you knew you were in Maplesville because it reeked to high heaven of the manure, right? But what you find, though, is if you take that same bunch of manure and you spread it out, which we all can smell in the springtime at the baseball field, somebody spreads that manure and you can smell it a long way away, right? But what does that manure do? Why do you spread out manure? It's good what? Fertilizer, right? So if I spread things out, it grows. If I put all in one basket, I take too much risk, and it can stink and not do what we want our investments to do. Notice the third one. This is so simple, but it catches a lot of us. Don't try to get rich quickly. Don't try to get wealth too quickly. Paul tells Timothy, because evidently it was a danger for even him in that day. He says this in 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. Look what he says. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires, watch this, that plunge people into ruin and destruction. What happens about this principle is this. When we get greedy about something, we lose objectivity. When we become self-centered, we just think to ourselves, I want it now. We end up not making wise decisions and falling into the trap of thinking that something is free when it's really not free. You ever heard somebody say this to you before? And I have. Man, I have got the investment of a lifetime for you. Had it happen about a year and a half ago. Somebody told me, and they were actually somebody that I knew very well, and they're in a similar profession that I'm in, and we invest in the same thing with what's called Guidestone. He said, listen, I got this perfect plan. Somebody got me to invest in. You just invest this amount of money, and in just 10 years, you do this and this and this, and it's going to return like 25 times what you're doing in the stock market. I'm thinking to myself, well, I respect this guy. I'm like, well, count me in. I mean, that's good. I get to make nothing, money on something, on nothing, really. But now I got to pull it out of my retirement account, which I've been putting in since I was 22. I keep hearing my dad tell me that one day it's going to make a lot of money. I keep believing him. I haven't seen it yet, but maybe one day when I get to retirement age, it's going to be a lot of money one day so I can retire. But here's the thing. If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. If it's get rich quick, then all these people that make a lot of money, that are very wealthy, they would not have the right principles because they didn't get rich that way. They didn't get wealthy that way. Now, again, is the goal to get rich? No. The goal is to make good investments and be wise so that we can be good stewards. We're talking about giving is good, so I flip-flop these two. So hang tight now because some of you are going to think that I'm Joel Osteen, and I'm not, okay? I'm going to be really clear about that, all right? I hurt some of your feelings. I saw that. I know, Joel Osteen makes you happy and feel good and smile. I know, it's good. All except his theology. It's just a little bit backwards, right? We get to tomorrow matters before the giving is good. God is not interested in you being rich or wealthy and healthy. Does God want to bless you? Yes. Does God want you to be a wise investor? Yes. Is it okay for you to have some stuff? Yes. But as we talked about, is it good to have stuff that it owns you? No. God doesn't want you to be in a place where you struggle financially. Somebody else tells you, well, just withdraw this money, right? And what ends up happening at the end of the day? I promise you, if I go back to that friend a year from now, I'm going to say to you, have you ever gotten your money back? And I did ask him about a year ago. Well, no, I haven't seen it yet, but they keep telling me it's coming. And I'm thinking, man, why did you buy into the lie? You can't get rich quickly. You can't get rich for nothing. It doesn't work that way. And we as men are really, really drawn to that because we like to be a sprinter instead of a marathon runner, right? Investing is not a sprint. It is a marathon. I have to remind myself of that every day. I would call my dad once a week or once a year and say, Dad, son, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. I know you're good at the 100-yard dash, but you stink at a marathon. I'm like, I know. Just keep reminding me. Proverbs 13:11 says what? Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers it, little by little, makes it grow. Now, here's a great formula. We'll talk about this in a second. Wealth is not bad when we use it to do good things, eternal things. So how do we get there? How do we get to place? Because if I ask every one of you and say, you know what? Wouldn't you love to bless somebody at Christmas? Wouldn't you love to bless and be able to give a lot of resources to Lottie Moon? Wouldn't you love to bless so-and-so or be able to do these kinds of things? And every one of you, unless you are really cold-hearted and not a Christian, you would say, well, of course I would. If I only had this, then I would be able to do this. And so how do you decide, how am I going to have this so I can do this? You got to make wise decisions. You have to remember that less is more. right? So for some of you today, the first step for you for less is more is don't go out to lunch today and pay two times what you could cook at home. Oh, that hurts. That hurts somebody's feelings, I know. It means you have to get up earlier on Sunday morning and cook something before you get there. Or wait, you know, because the preacher's preaching is thinking long. You have to, you know, wait till like 2 o'clock so you can eat if you cook it when you get home. So it's my fault. Blame it on me, all right? All right, you understand, it's as simple as less is more. It is stress is bad. It's that idea of over putting ourselves over the limits. And today, tomorrow matters. So what do you do? This is a simple thing. This is not rocket science. Here it is. Money plus consistency. Money plus consistency plus time equals what? Wealth. Money plus time, which none of us like. Remember, we're back to the 60 megabyte generation, right? I have a new life. I got to tell AT&T, bye-bye, very happily, after many years. It was a very ugly, ugly, ugly divorce. Very, very bad. And I told them, you know, that I found the same service for the same price for, to be exact, 54 megs more than what they were offering. I just had to endure Xfinity customer service to get it. But I did, and I have it, and I have 60 meg. And I'm thinking, man, this is the greatest thing ever. I mean, I thought 6 meg was smoking, right? 60, wow, it's different, right? Back to 19K. I mean, I can remember sitting there. You had to have, you got, in our day and age, you got other things done because you literally could type a sermon by the time something loaded on the internet. I mean, literally, it would take that long for it to load, right? We get the idea, it's time. It's also, it is consistency. Right? It's doing it over and over and over again, even when it's hard, even when you want to take that extra money out and go here or go there, you stay the course. And I promise you, if I could bring people up on this stage, they would tell you this is the truth. If you live out these principles, it makes a difference. Is it easy to do, though? No, it is not. It is really hard to do. But God will give us the strength to do that which we're doing. What we're basically saying is some of us, we got to say, not right now, not right then, but just not right now. I've got to pay down my debt first. I've got to do these kind of things. And some of you, you're kind of in this place, and you start hearing this message, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I hate I did this before. But some of you are at this place, you're going, that was then, but this is now. I'm in a different spot financially, right? But some of you, you're still in the then. You're in the hard spots, right? As we're unpacking this message, I pray God's speaking to you so you can find some really practical, this is why we did this message series, some really practical tools. Because what we're convinced of is this, the reason most people don't give is because they can't. Because they're so in the debt, they have so many financial commitments that they can't afford to give to the work of the church and to the Lord. I think a lot of people want to. So we decided, well, how are we going to do that? We want to back it up and be really practical because the Bible is very practical, by the way. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, very practical books of the Bible that tell us how to invest in a way so that we have the ability to do that. You live the 100% principle, the 10-10-80 rule, if you want to call it that. The first 10% goes to God. The second 10% used to save or to invest. The other 80% is what you live off of. Begin to formulate a plan. Go and look at what you're making. How could you live off of 80%? How can you get there? You want, preacher, have you seen my checkbook? Have you seen the bill stack of the checkbook, right? These pawn places, credit places down here. We got a lot of them in Petal. We got a lot in Alabama, right? I really ticked off a church member one time because I told him the interest they charge is unbiblical. Payday loans, that's it, payday loans. He left my church. I ticked him off so bad because I told him it's unbiblical. You want to tell why? But the Bible talks about charging a ridiculous amount of interest. And we have people that are ensnared to those kind of things, right? You say, how can I get there? You got to start today because tomorrow matters. Tomorrow is going to come, but you can begin to make financial decisions today that will allow you to do what you really want to do tomorrow. But you have to start somewhere. 10% aside to the Lord, 10% aside to investing, 80% you live off of. There's a book called The Compound Effect. I never read it, but it's by Darren Hardy. And it asks you this question. So teenagers, let me ask you this question. Teenagers, you ready? Kids, would you rather have, listen carefully, and this is kind of like the lottery question, it's a little tricky, $1 million today or a penny that doubles every day? $1 million. See, we got this is our teenagers. They kind of got it. This is our sixth graders. $1 million. Why? Because I want the million smackers today, right? Watch this. If you get your $1 million today, right, or a penny that doubles every day for 30 days. 30 days. Y'all want to revisit? Because it's just 30 days. You sure you don't want the $1 million? Right? You want the $1 million still. Okay. Listen to this. 90% of the people that took this survey said, I want the $1 million now. Right? But do you realize that if a penny doubles every day for 30 days, do you know what you'd have at the end? $5.3 million. And you say, this is like, what's that game show? Not the Price is Right, but the door number one, two, or three. You chose the wrong door. You got the goat, right? A million or 5 million. What's the idea? Why say that, preacher? Money plus time plus consistency can equal wealth. I pray for those of you, you're in that then moment. You're struggling. You want to get there. I want to pray and help. I want to see you get there. Well, preacher, you say you want to get there so we can get more in the budget? No, that's not why. Because I want you to be able to be walking out of this door and not thinking to yourself, man, I wish I could give. I want to give. I need to give. I feel compelled to give. Now, some of you in the room, you don't feel compelled to give at all. That's a different kind of prayer I want to pray for you. But a prayer I would pray for those of you who want to get there, then you have to begin to understand that less is more, stress is bad, tomorrow matters, and giving is good. You know what? I would pray this for you, that every one of us become incredible investors. And don't think for a moment, though we're talking about money, that's all we're talking about. The best investment Jesus made was in a group of men and women, at least 120 of them in the upper room, that literally turned the world upside down. I would pray that you would invest in your marriage and that you are rich with the blessings of intimacy in your marriage. I pray you would invest in your children and you are blessed and overwhelming with the rich relationship with Jesus following kids. They go into serving God with all they do. And I want to be real transparent with you a moment. This thought occurred to me this morning. Some of you may have seen the Pedal newspaper thing, and one of my sons was telling his friend, neighbor yesterday, my dad won the Pedal Person of the Year. As if I sold the top number of Disney tickets, and I won. Like it was a vote. Like I was Donald Trump. I won. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't even know it until Wednesday morning, and I passed out and said, I don't accept this award. Can I decline it? No, too late. It's already in print. Oh, well, great. That's why they hid it from me, including my wife, for a month, who hid it from me for a month. I'm a little worried. She hid something from me for a month. But the thought hit me this morning. And I say that, but I didn't want to mention it because I'm hoping most of you didn't even see it or know what I'm talking about, and that would be fantastic. Because I'm overwhelmed, and I'm not deserving, no matter how many you people say that. There are so many other people who deserve it far more than I do. But there are two things about it that made me smile. One is there's so much stinking bad news about so many bad things that it's good to see God getting some glory. Amen? It's not about me. It's not about Brother Carl. I got to call Brother Carl and tell him because he had no clue. He doesn't get the Pedal News. Brother Carl, you got to go find the Pedal newspaper. You're Pedal Person of the Year. I am. You are. And I'm the second guy. You're the top guy. I'm the second guy. And I said, you got to go check it out. They wrote all this flattery stuff about us. It's ridiculous. They had called me and they interviewed me for the article. But all she told me was they were going to do an article on the tornado again. I'm like, why are they talking about the tornado again? Stupid me. I mean, I would have never thought of it. So I gave them a quote. So please know your preacher did not give a quote knowing that he was going to be the Pedal Person of the Year, all right? And let's be clear about that. I can't even remember who the Pedal Person of the Year was last year, so that's the good news. I'm not, y'all will forget next week, and that's good. But anyway, here's what I wanted you to get. Could my kids see something out of that, of investment? Why get Pedal Person of the Year? That was a nice person. I just pray they get it. Is it because their dad was willing to invest? I pray. And that which will far outlast him. so that my kids one day will want to do the same thing, whether they're ever pedal person of the year. That's a great honor, but you know the only person of the year I want to be? I want to be his person of the year. But I want my kids to follow Jesus hard. I want them to invest in that which will last so that God can use them in ways that would blow their mind. If you'd have told me when I was 8 years old or 13 years old, teenagers, listen to me, tomorrow matters. When you're faced with that decision, teenager, to go to that party or spend that money, you're thinking, well, it doesn't really matter what I do today. Tomorrow matters. I've seen it be true in my life. And I don't deserve it, but he who is faithful in a little, God will reward with more. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. I pray that you have a rich marriage. I pray you have a rich relationship with your kids. I pray you have an investment in your church. And that you realize that it's not just about going to church, that you are the church. That as you pour your gifts and your resources into this church, it makes a difference around the world. We have a team coming back from 12 hours away, 8,000-9,000 miles around the earth. You're a part of that. You're part of investment of our prayer this year over 2017 that our giving would increase so significantly that we could go and hire a children and preschool pastor to help take our kids and our generational ministry to the next level. You can make a difference because it's your church. You are the church. It's not this building. It's not this pastor. It's you. You're investing in us. And I pray you would steward your resources wisely so that you can be used by God. As we close this morning to a time of invitation, where can you make some changes? Where is God calling you to make some changes? And chances are they're going to be uncomfortable and challenging and difficult. But can I give you a word? It is worth it. It will be worth it. So ask God. God, at the end of this time of invitations, we pray in just a moment. God, what is it that I need to do? For some of us, for some of you, tomorrow matters. And listen to me carefully. It's all about eternity. Folks, listen to me carefully. Tomorrow matters. This past week, three people in our church lost their parents. They didn't know going into this week they would lose their parents. They had no idea. People don't know that you're going to die. Here's my question. Are you ready for tomorrow? Spiritually speaking, has there been a moment you can identify in your life where there's a line of the sand that's been drawn and you have stepped over the line and given Jesus Christ your heart and your life? Where you've admitted to God that you're a sinner. You've asked him to forgive you of all of your sins, both past, present, and future. You say, Lord, I believe in you in such a way that it transforms my life so deeply that you confess him as your Savior and commit your life to him as Lord. Have you done that? If you're not, have not done that, you're not ready for tomorrow. But here's the good news. You can be ready today for tomorrow if you will trust Christ as your Savior and your Lord. For others to invest is to invest in this church family. Say, you know what? This is where God wants us to plant our lives. We're believers. We're a member of another church. We want to come and plant our lives here. For others, you need to be a part of a life group. Invest there. Invest in serving somewhere. You can do that today. Would you pray with me this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, nobody looking around as God speaks to our hearts. In just a moment, our praise team is coming. We're going to have a time of invitation for you to respond publicly for what Christ has done in your heart privately. And for some of you this morning, it's a financial principle found in Scripture that you could begin to realize that tomorrow matters. Maybe it's a less is more principle, or maybe it's even one of those principles from last Sunday. That you would say, you know what, I need to put in practice in my life. Maybe it's a conversation you'd have with your spouse when you get home. We've got to make some changes, some adjustments in how we're spending our money so that we can really be able to give what God wants us to give. So God can bless us so we can be a blessing to others. And oh, the joy and the freedom that comes in being in that place, dear friend. for others, Lord, this morning. They need to come and find you a Savior, Lord, and right where they sit in that pew, in that chair right now, they would be able to pray a prayer, something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I've missed the mark, that I cannot get to heaven on my own. Today, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And on this day, November the 27th, I declare to you that I believe you are the Son of God, that you loved me and gave yourself up for me so that I could have eternal life. Today I confess you, Lord. I say to you, you are my Savior. No other one can save me. You are the only way. And I commit my life to you as Lord, as the boss of my life for the rest of my days. I pray for any person that prayed that prayer that had the courage to come on this Sunday after Thanksgiving and grab Kristen right by the hand and say, that's me. That's me. Maybe for others, Lord, they need to come and make it public what you've already done in their lives privately. They've already accepted Christ, but they never made it public. God, give them the courage to come, because tomorrow matters, and their coming may help somebody else to come. So give them the courage and the boldness to come. For others to come and say, Lord, I want to be a part of this church family. Give them the wisdom to say, Lord, this is where I need to be. This is where we need to plant our lives. Not to come and say, well, what can we get out of it? What can we give to the church, the body of Christ? For others, specific financial decisions, Lord, you would help them to know what those are. God, may we do business with you right now as we say, Lord, would you mold us and shape us as we put our lives into the potter's hands. God, do what only you can do, I pray right now. In Jesus' name, amen.